you get your podcasts.
Let's get it started in
FM. Good morning. It is Wednesday, August 5th, 2020, and this is Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there is John Justice.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Nice to see you.
In there pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls is the lovely, talented, and radiant, effervescent, and Miss Minnesota Rodeo Queen.
Wow.
Samantha Sansevier.
Good morning.
Her list of accolades keeps growing.
It's true. It's true. As we get pushed further and further down on the list.
I know. We got an email from a listener yesterday, and it was just sent to Sam.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, Sam, good job keeping them, those guys in line. Wait, what?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
On the
you're welcome, world.
On the show today, we will wade into the waters of the Minneapolis man baby mayor mom jeans versus the flannel masked tyrant Kim Jong walls and the war of words over who is more incompetent. And who is more to blame when it comes to the destruction of downtown Minneapolis?
Can they both win?
Oh, they're both winning.
I mean, well, you know, in terms of, like, the contest to see who...
Biggest loser,
who was the most incompetent.
Both winning.
Who's most to blame for the city being turned to rubble. I think it should end up being a stalemate.
At the moment, I'm going to give Kim Jong-Wall's the upper hand. He's leading right now, and we'll get into this a little bit later on. That could change on a dime. I mean, that just, you know, the moment that the Minneapolis man, maybe Mayor Mom Jeans Jacob Fry opens his mouth, he could easily retake the lead over stupidest politician in the state. But right now, Governor Tim Walz is easily winning the most incompetent loser activist DFLer category. He's just an idiot. And we have audio to prove it that we'll share with you later on today. Individual we haven't had on the show for a long time from the Minnesota Voters Alliance, Kim Crockett, will be joining us. There's a lawsuit aiming to block the mask mandate at polling places. So we'll be talking to them at 7:35 this morning.
It's already, the lawsuit is already being framed as voter suppression, which I understand, but I fail to understand. Like, it takes a pretty impressive leap of logic to say that a lawsuit asking for a mask mandate to be lifted is an attempt to suppress voting.
Well, you made an interesting point there, and I'm so glad you did, Drew, because right now nothing makes sense anymore.
That's true.
Okay. The world's changing, y'all, in a lot of different ways. And we'll get into this on the show. I listened in on the Disney investors call yesterday.
Okay.
Because sometimes they drop Star Wars news during it. They did not, apart from just ensuring everybody the Mandalorian was still coming out in October. But there's some massive industry changes afoot, and we'll share that with you a little bit later on, including Christmas might already start being canceled. We'll talk about that later. But I don't know if you saw this or not, Drew. Speaking of confusion and, you know, nothing makes sense anymore or is rational. From post-millennial, there is a debate that has heated up to the point where leftists are now actually posting that 2 + 2 = 5 without any hint of irony at all. They are arguing that 2 + 2 = 5. It began with James Lindsay of New Discourses. He posted a meme that read, 2 + 2 = 4, a perspective in white, Western mathematics that marginalizes other possible values. Okay. The meme is a send-up of the current culture wherein virtually everything is labeled as racist, white supremacist, misogynist, homophobic, transphobic, the list goes on and on and on, right? It led to people who began posting that 2 plus 2 equals 5. I'm not kidding you. We'll have to post this up here because we have all the tweets. But the point that they're trying to make here is, like, there's one Brittany Marshall that tweeted, nope, the idea of 2 plus 2 equaling 4 is cultural, and because of Western imperialism and colonization, we think of it as the only way of knowing.
What?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm at a complete loss for words.
This is the reason why Donald Trump will win the presidency again this year.
The article goes on to say, the contradiction of basic math was to claim that Lindsay and his approach to discourse is incorrect and undoubtedly problematic. Perhaps they realize in posting the two doubled is the equivalent of two and a half doubled makes them and their positions look absurd. Those mathematicians that jump to the 2 plus 2 equals 5 bandwagon are being disingenuous when they cite the complex equations and theoretical propositions. There can be obtuse, obscure, and theoretical ways of attaining mathematical probabilities of correctness through intensive mental machinations does not negate the fact that, for practical terms, if you have two apples and you add two more, you have four apples.
Well, maybe. Unless the apples mate.
But they don't want anything to make sense anymore. Right,
yes, that's the core of it.
It's a free for all.
They want the truth to be fungible.
Right.
They want the truth to be manipulatable. They want to be able to say as authorities, as the state, that this is the truth. Forget everything you've been taught. Forget everything you've ever learned, and now accept this as the new truth, and they're using 2 plus 2 equals 5 as a very obvious and somewhat absurd example of how that will work. If we tell you 2 plus 2 equals 5, then that is now the truth.
Yeah, if we tell you that we don't need police officers and all that we need, you know, our community service members to go out and give people hugs, and that, of course, is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is stemming from largely, this whole debate is stemming from a lot of individuals who are a part of the trans movement. And so they're using this as a means to sort of, in their own minds, justify their feelings when it comes to gender issues. The last point on this is, as the eradication of basic mathematic principles, the push for people to believe what they are told to believe, as opposed to what is logical, reasoned, and proven, is a push towards creating more manageable humans that will be more susceptible to authoritarian control.
That's exactly what it's all about.
And it's frightening because it's happening right now. It's because it's truly, truly frightening.
It's so bizarre. It's just, I don't even know what to say about it. It's so bizarre. I never thought I would stumble across an actual argument over what the correct answer to 2 plus 2 is.
Well, and again, how do you push back against it? It is such a great example of what we have said about not all of you, but many of you who are on the left, you know, that if you're on the left, right, you can be as irrational and hypocritical as you want to be as long as it fits your agenda and what it is you're trying to do. And this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, it's nice because you can never lose an argument that way.
Nope.
When the truth doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. The Last Jedi is the greatest Star Wars movie. Don't at me.
651-99-5855. Sam's top five.
Deserve the truth.
Twin Cities News Talk has your summer bailout. It's 12 chances to win $1,000 a day. This hour, you could win $1,000 by texting the keyword bank to 200-200. For your chance to win $1,000, again, that keyword is bank, as in you're going to have to go to the bank when you win $1,000. Text the keyword bank to 200-200 for your chance to win $1,000.
It is Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk. That voice you heard was Sam, who Hello. Wants to give you money and has a top five on the way here on Twin Cities News Talk.
It's her money, too.
And it's all, it's our cash.
And just giving it away.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes,
I know how much you make. You shouldn't be giving that away.
12 grand a day.
When does all this end, right? That's the biggest question. And what's the, what is the, not just show, I just mean everything.
9 o'clock.
Everything that we're dealing with
right
now.
We're done at 9 a.m.
Dude, mentally, I try. I try so hard. I try so darn hard every day. 9 o'clock, and then whoop, try to, but it's hard to escape.
Can't.
No, you can't. No. Listening to that Disney earnings call yesterday, and I am fascinated with what the long-term consequences are going to be if and when we ever do get out of this pandemic. You know, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I like movies.
What?
Really?
I know, it's shocking, right? Big fan of movies. But yesterday on the Disney earnings call, the shape of things to come. So Disney announced. So a couple of their big tentpole films this year, Mulan and Black Widow, mm-hmm. the next Marvel movie, they keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed. We still don't know what's going to happen with Black Widow, but they made an announcement yesterday that for Mulan, and this is the test bed to this whole thing, right? This is where the future is heading. So in September, Disney Plus is going to release Mulan in theaters where they are open. Okay, so anywhere the theaters are open, anywhere on the planet, they will put Mulan.
Okay.
On top of that, you will be able to watch Mulan on the Disney Plus app to the tune of $30.
In addition to your subscription.
Yes.
So, okay.
So, limited access. On demand.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this doesn't
surprise me.
This is the testing bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Disney going, all right, that's essentially a family of four going to the theater.
Yeah.
Right? So, let's
After you pay the 30, do you own it? Or is it just 30 to watch it?
I believe it's like an Amazon rental.
So, okay, like 24, 48 hours.
I could be wrong.
That would make the most sense.
Right. There is a bit of logic to this. One, you're going to...
There's a lot of logic to it,
well,
actually.
Yeah. Well, Disney's going to find out whether or not people are willing to pay for it.
Right.
But the flip side of that is, for everybody complaining, because there's a lot of people complaining already, but it's the internet, you know, saying, well, you know, I don't have it. But people are making the argument like I did. Well, family of four, right, that's about the cost of what you would pay to go see Mulan in the theater. And that's not even factoring in, like, food and beverages and stuff like that. Okay. So... with this, Disney gets to retain 100% of all the profits. So if they were to give it out to other entities or to movie theaters, there is a cut that those other entities get.
Okay.
By Disney allowing to sell it on their own platform, they retain 100% of all that money that comes in for people that want to spend the $30.
I mean, it's kind of smart. They're cutting out the middleman, but that's so bad for movie theaters.
It is. It really is, especially if it works. And there's a secondary logic to this that I actually thought was really, really sound. And somebody posted, because there was a lot of complaining, and somebody posted and they went, think about this, though. For the people that are not willing to pay the $30 to see Mulan, when they do end up releasing it on, say, Blu-ray, people are going to be more willing to pay $20 for a Blu-ray. Or when they put it out to just watch on Disney Plus, 3 months down the line, people are going to go, oh, I'll pay the $5.99 for the subscription fee. Mm-hmm. But this is where we're heading. And there's a part of me that likes it and a part of me that hates it. You know, because I'm worried about the new normal and not being able to go to the cinema.
Yeah. No, and I think there will always be cinema. There will always be theaters. I think they're going to be a lot less. And I think that going to the movie theater is going to be more of an event as opposed to just something you might do because you have a couple of hours to kill on a Friday or
whatever. It'll look more like pre-multiplex.
Yeah, exactly. Going to the movie will probably be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll save it for the big movie, the big releases that are worth watching.
Right.
In that environment, worth watching on the big screen. You know, the big Marvel movies, the big Star Wars movies and things like that. Every other movie, and I'm thinking of like Palm Springs as an example.
Right.
Palm Springs was a movie that Andy Samberg and the Lonely Island crew put together, and they had hoped to get it into theaters, and the plan was to get it into theaters, at least do one of those simultaneous theaters and streaming releases. But because of the pandemic, it ended up just being on Hulu. And it was very, very well received. And I think that was a good example of, okay, you can put out movies just on these streaming platforms and still get a lot of the same recognition that you used to get by putting it in theaters. So, yeah, I think you're going to see the majority of movies in the near future will be that hybrid limited theater plus streaming type of release.
We'll have more commentary on this on today's post-show podcast, so be sure you check that out after the show is wrapped up today. But I'm assuming with the extra time, everything is officially scoured.
It is.
Sam's Top 5 coming up next.
Justice and Drew.
That is a ridiculous question. And
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. The DFL is freaking out over
Representative Ilhan Omar, we have the latest example coming up at 6:55 this morning, but there is no doubt that DFL is definitely freaking out.
They're freaking out about Omar, and they're freaking out on each other. They're
Man alive.
Each other under the bus.
They are so scared about Tuesday.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They need a break.
Yeah, man.
They should step away from running Minnesota for a while.
Their Sith Lord is about to get primaried.
Just take a little break.
Sorry.
I don't know if I would.
Sorry.
Yeah. I think the Sith Lord, we don't know who the Sith Lord is.
Oh, man, just...
The Sith Lord doesn't come out.
But Fry and Walls are too stupid to be...
Yeah.
To be that bad.
Yeah,
you know.
They're pawns.
Yeah, no. Omar's calculating, man.
Omar may be like a high-ranking apprentice. I don't know if I'd put her up there with Sith Lord.
Who
would be the Sith Lord?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we would know.
Yeah.
Sith Lord's somewhere up in a cave in Greater Minnesota.
Yeah. She's achieved rank, though. She's
got a Darth in front of her name.
Yeah,
we'll
man.
Put it that
she,
way.
She's got either a double bladed saber or two, but she's definitely evil.
Let's jump into Sam's top five for Wednesday.
Number one.
There was a massive explosion in Beirut yesterday.
Yeah, there was.
I'd never seen anything like this before in my life on video like this. I could not stop watching the footage. It was just incredible.
If you'd like to watch that footage yourself, you can find that video on the Justice and Drew page on TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. We'll also be discussing this with David tomorrow at 8:35 a.m. That's David Gartenstein Ross, of course, from the Associated Press. Residents of Beirut awoke to a scene of utter devastation yesterday. It was a day after a massive explosion at the port sent shockwaves across the Lebanese capital, killing at least 100 people and wounding thousands.
It's got to be more than that. I think that death count's going to go up. It has to. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Sure. The first one that came out was 10, and I thought, there's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way. The shockwave alone, the way that ripped through so many buildings, it was... You're right. I mean, I've never seen footage like that before, like caught cell phone camera footage catching this thing. And the reason why so many people were able to catch it was because there was the initial explosion.
Right.
Everybody got their phones out.
There was a big smoke plume.
Yeah. You could see fire and smoke and all of this. And then you start seeing these little bursts of orange coming out from inside the plume, and then all of a sudden just the massive explosion. And it was far, like the footage was taken from far enough away that you could see the shockwave coming, and you had a moment to be like, oh my gosh.
It was straight out of a movie, man. When I saw the video the first time, like it stunned me.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching like this 30-second clip, and I'm going, okay. And then the second detonation goes off, and I was just speechless is what I was watching.
Buildings around it just disintegrated instantly. It was insane. Smoke was still rising from the port, it's still rising now, where huge mounds of grain gushed from hollowed out silos. Major downtown streets are littered with debris and damaged vehicles, and building facades have been completely blown out. An official with the Lebanese Red Cross said that so far, at least 100 people have been killed and more than 4,000 have been wounded. This official that's quoted here said the toll could rise further. Lebanon was already on the brink of collapse amid severe economic crisis that has ignited mass protests in recent months. Its hospitals are confronting a surge in coronavirus cases, and there were already concerns that the virus could spread further as people flooded into hospitals. The interior minister told a local TV station that it appeared the blast was caused by the detonation of more than 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate that had been stored in a warehouse at the dock ever since it was confiscated from a cargo ship in 2014. Witnesses reported seeing an orange cloud-like, or a cloud that which appears when toxic nitrogen dioxide gas is released after an explosion involving nitrates. Ammonium nitrate is a common ingredient in fertilizer, but can also be highly explosive. And ammonium nitrate was used in the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995 when a truck bomb containing 2,100 kilograms of fertilizer and fuel ripped through a federal building, killing 168 people and wounding hundreds more.
And just to put it into perspective, 4,800 pounds, it's a little over 2 tons, right? And this was 2,700 tons. of ammonium nitrate that was stored in this, if that was indeed the cause. We still don't know for certain.
Well, and this is what we're getting in. We're getting into it with David, because there's a lot of tensions in the region with Hezbollah, and there were some threats that are already leveled prior to this whole thing happening, and there was a lot of rampant speculation yesterday that this particular location may have been weapon storage or a weapons depot right there on the coast. There was one piece of video footage. There was a journalist, I believe, he was live streaming, and he was a couple miles away, but he was at ground level, and he tragically died. And they've grabbed the videos out there because he was live streaming. So this, like, and this, it's been out there. If you look at my Twitter feed, you can see it. But it is straight. This ground level shot was the most harrowing for me because it was so far away.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the shockwave. You could see the shockwave coming in the image of this guy at ground level, and it was like watching every single sci-fi movie where there's mass destruction. As it rolls, the buildings are just flying apart.
Crazy.
Until it reaches his location, and the camera just goes flipping. I'm still, like, even talking about it, I'm still stunned at the footage of it. It was just incredible.
We specifically waited a day. To bring David on because, as with events like this, this early information and really like the first 24, even 48 hours, you get a lot of information coming out there. People look for every little nook and cranny, for every possible angle, and a lot of it ends up being misinformation. So, the initial thought is obviously somebody bombed Lebanon.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. We don't know. I mean, if they're telling the truth and it was an explosion because of the storage of this nitrate, maybe it was stored improperly, or maybe it was an airstrike. We don't know. Hopefully, by the time David joins us tomorrow, we'll have a little bit more information and be able to speculate a little more informedly.
Well, and looking at the clock, we're obviously going to be going long on the top five into next hour. But you made an interesting observation that hold yesterday, Drew, that holds true today. To your first point, the initial reporting came out said it was a fireworks facility, right. And nobody was buying that. It was like, oh, give me a break already. Right. You're not getting your old Liberty fireworks. I'm not making that kind of explosion, for crying out loud. But the point you made yesterday, and again rings true today, there's like zero coverage in the mainstream media on this. And I can't help but be so cynical and think this is worthy of like headline news coverage and discussion,
right,
of what happened. And yet there's nothing.
That's those cable news networks.
They are awful. It's incredible to me.
Awful. I'm looking. I want to get more information on this, and I ended up having to go to YouTube and hop on some live streams of like Sky News and other outlets from not in America, because CNN was talking about masks.
Yeah, or interviews that Trump did with Vox, and it's right? Like it's. I mean, that's the other part of it, right? I mean, when you go, okay, well, what are they covering? It's the same crap that we've been hearing every single day.
Exactly.
And here you have... anyways, I'm just ranty.
Number two.
Governor Tim Walz has asked the feds for loans to help businesses damaged in civil unrest.
No!
This is the second ask.
I know. Yes. I want the businesses to get help, but my gosh, man.
They need to own this.
Yes.
The people that are responsible for allowing this to happen need to own it, and they need to be responsible for fixing it.
From the Star Tribune, Governor Tim Walz is requesting this disaster declaration from the U.S. Small Business Administration to help repair properties that sustained extensive damage in Minneapolis during the civil unrest. Walz announced the request on Monday after meeting with business owners on Lake Street in Minneapolis, which, of course, sustained the largest extent of the damage. If approved, the disaster declaration could free up low-interest loans for property and business owners. Walz wrote in this letter, "While many areas suffered damage, Minneapolis bore the brunt of the destruction. Arson was used to wantonly destroy local businesses, public buildings, and other property." This move comes weeks after the Federal Emergency Management Agency denied a request from Walz for federal disaster aid to reimburse local governments as they begin to clear away rubble and rebuild structures. Nearly 1,500 Twin Cities businesses were damaged by vandalism, fire, and looting.
We will be getting more into this, and of course the war of words between Minneapolis Man-Baby Mayor Jacob Frey and Kim Jong Walz coming up at 7:55 this morning.
Number three.
Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono walked out of Ted Cruz's Antifa hearing saying, "I don't think you listen." Tensions flared at a Senate hearing on Antifa when a top Democrat walked out of the room. The dust-up occurred when Senator Cruz blasted Democrats for not condemning Antifa more directly for the violence and destruction that has taken hold in certain U.S. cities in the wake of George Floyd's death.
It wasn't even about not condemning Antifa. It's the fact that they won't even say that word.
Yeah.
They just won't.
They won't go on record.
They won't even acknowledge the existence of Antifa. They're trying to convince everybody that the organization is a myth, that it doesn't really exist, that it's a right-wing concoction. It's the 2 + 2 = 5.
They're trying to 2 + 2 = 5,
everybody, when it comes to Antifa. If we say it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist.
I bet if you asked them about the Boogaloo Boys or Umbrella Man, they would probably talk about both of those.
Exactly.
Senator Mazie Hirono said Cruz just wasn't listening during this more than 3-hour hearing when Democrats said violence is not acceptable. Mazie Hirono said, "How many times have I had to say that we all should be denouncing violent extremists of every stripe?" Cruz shot back, "Does that include Antifa?" And that's when Hirono got a little bit upset.
"So I hope this is the end of this hearing, Mr. Chairman, and that we don't have to listen to any more of your rhetorical speeches. Thank you very much. I'm leaving."
Well, I appreciate the, as always, kind and uplifting words of Senator Hirono. And I would also note that throughout her remarks, she still did not say a negative word about Antifa, nor has any Democrat here. They instead engage in a political game where they depend. You're welcome to say something negative about Antifa right now. Okay, she declined to speak, so that is the position of the Democratic Party. I would note also that of the 7 Democratic senators who spoke, not a one of them apologized for or denounced multiple Democrats calling law enforcement officers Nazis, stormtroopers, and Gestapo.
You know how in a fighter jet, you have an ejection seat, right? And this is a case that you got to get out. The plane's going down. Got to go.
That's what I've seen in the movies.
Got to get out. Got to get out.
A fighter jet.
We need a political ejection seat for politicians that are as stupid as Mazie Hirono. Like, there's got to be a level where you go, yeah, you're so bad. You just need to we're going to have to pull the ejection lever here and just get rid of you.
You wonder how some of these people got elected.
It's incredible.
When you see these representatives and senators from other states, people that Mazie Hirono's profile has raised quite a bit in the last year, but before a year or two ago, I probably would have never heard of her and couldn't tell you who she was. But you see these representatives and senators from places get interviewed and you're like, "How did that person win an election?"
Seriously. People definitely feel the same way about Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm telling you, man, just a political ejection seat, only in the most extreme of circumstances. But it definitely applies to her. She's dumb.
Number 4.
The governor's 2020 pheasant hunting opener has been canceled.
Aww.
Well, Sad face.
It might have been fun. And we can't be too careful. You know, we want to get ahead of these things,
yes.
And we want to make sure that if anything looks like it might be fun, we pretty much need to stop it, especially if it's before November 6th.
Well, COVID-19 loves fun.
And look, it's
or hates fun? I don't even know.
In Kim Jong-Wals's defense, it's really hard to put a mask on a pheasant.
Yeah, I've tried.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Their faces are tiny.
They know.
So are the masks.
So are the masks. You know, how do you...
And they don't have ears.
Where are the ears?
Express droplets?
Yeah, it's very...
Their beaks.
He's still working it out. You know, he's like, I know we can get the flannel that small, but how do we get it on their beaks?
Yeah, you got to shoot them first.
It's a lot easier after you shoot them.
Well, that's why they're hunting.
So, yeah, right. Obviously. So they can put the masks on them. And then release them back into the wild.
Fly, pheasant, fly!
This is the logic of our Minnesota government.
I'm still getting a paycheck on the 15th, right?
I don't know much about pheasant hunting.
I don't either.
I'm not sure how it works.
No, but I know Walls is an idiot, so that's I'm aware of.
From Channel 5. Walls does still plan to enjoy pheasant hunting, and he's encouraging Minnesotans to do the same when the season opens on October 10th and runs until January 3rd, 2021. Walls said thank you to the Fairmont community, along with our partners Explore Minnesota and the Department of Natural Resources for their work planning this annual Rite of Fall in Minnesota. But he says, too bad it's canceled.
Too bad. Yeah. Whatever, Walz. We have some stunning audio to play for you from Governor Tim Walz yesterday, especially his comments about the National Guard, which I'm very much looking forward to hearing from some National Guardsmen on the show to get their reaction to that. But we'll wrap up Sam's Top 5 coming up in just a